go into the scripture, Brother Ben, that we started with last week here, as I've been asking the Holy Spirit to guide us, Matthew 24. There is so much on my mind, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit, see if I can stay within my time limit this morning, Brother Ben. Okay, thank you. This adjustment is amazing. But I want to thank you. We had more people in the new believers class, new members class this morning. We want you to make sure you come. We moved the, not for the week. We're here Sunday morning. That's part of the new church. I'd like to see everyone come into a class at 9 o'clock. You say, Pastor, well, are we a Berean church? Yes, we are. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica, the Bereans. I'm pronouncing you a Berean because they searched the scriptures. Next Sunday, where's my dad at? He go out. The next Sunday, and I want all new people, my dad is going to be down at 9 o'clock sharing the history of the church. And if anybody else, now if you're in a class, be sure you stay in that class. But I want dad, I'm gonna be just talking to him. We have a video that we put together of our history and that too. And I want people to understand that this church was built on revival. Amen. This church was built on hungry hearts. Amen. And we want to help the new people coming in to understand this. And so that's what we're doing. And I'm here to preserve the harvest. I'm going out. People I haven't seen, I'm going by, talking to them. You need to pray much for Pastor. I tell you what, I have people that started to come, and they're not here now. And I go to try to see them. Did you know some people don't want to see Pastor? Come on. But I'm doing my job as a pastor to pastor. Every time someone comes in here, I told you, you're in my heart. A shepherd carries the sheep in his heart. Every one of you. And I have a new revelation. And you can't take me out of your heart. I said you can't take me out of your heart, of my heart. I'm praying for you. Asking the Holy Ghost to work. But look at this here. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. That is our number one purpose of being a church here, is to get people saved. I just don't want to see church jumpers. I want to see new people coming in that never had Jesus in their hearts. Can we go there in Jesus' name? Why not? Do you know there is more winnable people all around us than there ever has been in all history? What do you mean, Pastor? People that need Jesus. All around us. Every day. You say, well, I don't get out so much. People come by your house. Flo? I saw that. He came by. You just love all them. Yeah. Every day. I look at some of you. You at work. You have people at work. And Brother Gordon was telling me, where's that guy from? Liberia. He's looking for a church that preaches the whole gospel and doesn't call sin, sin. Well, that's what we do here, so watch out. There's going to be people coming. He's inviting him to come check us out. Why not? Because we want to get people saved. Now, Rosemary, would you please come up here? Last Sunday, we had a revolutionary service here. You come up here, please, Rosemary. I know if I would have told her, she might have said no, so I'm catch her off guard here so that Holy Ghost can just work through her. Okay. So a lot of times she gets afraid. If I tell her, you're going to say something. No. Only if the Holy Ghost tells me. Well, last Sunday, she told me after we left, driving home, Well, I want, and there's someone else. When the, you know, brother, my dear brother, Justin, you know, he had a word, you know. The word of the Lord was flowing, brother and sister. There is times that we need to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying, and we want to have freedom with the Holy Spirit. And she told me she had a word, so I don't know what it is. Rosemary, I don't want to put you on the spot if you don't feel, but I am. So I was just feeling, the Holy Spirit was just feeling, before I start my message, I should invite you to share if you feel what the word was last Sunday is good enough for today, if you feel that way. If not, you can go sit down. That's okay with me. But I just sense something that you just might have a word for us here today.
I guess that word was for last Sunday because I don't remember what it was, so I can't share that. But I do have an encouragement. I was in the class this morning. I've been going to Brother Justin's classes on Tuesday nights when we had them, and they were powerful teaching on the prophetic. And Brother Larry Hernisey, Lynn, his wife, are doing the class in the conference room on Jesus Heals the Sick. And then Pastor Mel's got the new members class. And I just want to encourage you, if you are a leader, if you're a deacon or if you're somebody that does something in the church, you need to be in the Sunday school class. There's no excuse. You can come a little earlier, get your cup of coffee and do some fellowship, and then go to the class. But I'm telling you, if this is your home church, I'm just talking to you like a mother. If my kids only came to the table when they felt like it, they would not be fed and they would not grow. I was just talking to my husband this week. We have our granddaughter living with us right now. She's struggling financially, but I just said, if she's going to be with us in our home, she needs to go to church. Go to church. Okay, I'm just telling y'all, this is your home church, right? Right? Okay, you need to be in a Sunday school class. If I would have let my kids make the decision not to come to Sunday school when they were growing up, they would not be in church today. Now, they're old enough to make their choices. I can't tell them not to tell them to go to church now. But if they lived in my home, they were in church and they were in Sunday school. And I'm thankful for the Sunday school because they are men and women of God. And they're making a difference in the area that they're at and in the churches that God is using them in. So I'm encouraging you as a mother in the Lord, be in church. Don't sit out there and drink your coffee and talk during the Sunday school time. Get your coffee and go to the class, and you will grow. Now, if you get mad at me, then you're going to have to ask the Lord to forgive you. Because if you're going to see me in heaven, then you're going to have to forgive me. But I love you enough to tell you that. There's a lot of things I could tell you, folks. Things that I've learned. When you said people don't want to see you when you go to visit them, it's not because of you, Pastor. Shepherds beget shepherds. Sheep beget sheep. So if they've come to the house and somebody has said something or looked at them wrongly or did something that was offensive, that's why they don't come back. A lot of times that's what. I've been here. I've been married 50 years to this man, 51. And we've been pastoring this church since 1986. And I've seen a lot of stuff coming and going. I know that Narthex is a beautiful place to have fellowship, but it's also been a hothouse for gossip and dissension and disruption of the body of Christ. And it cannot go on. And I'm just telling you right now, this is God's house. He built this house. If the finances aren't coming in, it's because who holds the finances? Who holds the purse? I'm telling you, we need to straighten up and start walking what he's taught us in his word and begin to act like the body of Christ, like brothers and sisters that care about each other and love each other and are there available for one another to encourage and to share. We cannot just come and look at the back of our heads and go home and do our own thing and that's it. If we're a family, come to the table, fellowship, and be a part of the body. And if there's something going on, don't be afraid to share with somebody, to pray with you, encourage you, and lift you up, because that's what we're here for. If my kids would come to my house and I didn't know what's going on in their life, if they had problems, I would want to know so I could pray with them, so I could encourage them, I can love them and help them any way that I could. So, body, let's be a family. Let's be the body of Christ. And that's my word for today.
Thank you, my dear wife. You have spoken a lot into my life, and I'm learning after 50 years that I better start listening to you too. And so I am doing my best. I told you this, and I tell the people this too, that God surrounds you with wisdom every day. We just need to ask. That's what wisdom does. Ask. When you have a problem, don't try to do it all by yourself. Ask. What I am learning through this beautiful woman of God, that she is an amazing woman for me, and every day I try to honor her, because honor is due. We need to honor everyone. Everyone. When we honor one another, that honor comes back on us. And so I want to thank God for my family. Good to see Melissa here this morning. God bless you, Melissa. She's my little one. And she is speaking into my life. I let her. I let my children speak into my life to help me make decisions. It's fun. And that's why. Thank you, Rosemary. Thank you so much. And that's why we are here today, because we want to honor the Lord, and we love to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So my message today is titled, "This Gospel Shall Be Preached." And that's my title, my message, and the scripture is Matthew 24:14. And one thing that I would like us also to turn to, if we could, is also Romans. Turn in your Bibles to Romans. Romans, the sixth chapter. My subtitle is that the majority of people in the world are still living in slavery. They're still living in slavery. We have our Afro-American brothers and sisters that they were in slavery big time. Let me read Romans 6 here. Very important for us. Paul was endeavoring to help us to understand. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Pit our slavery to sin. How shall we that are dead to the slavery of sin live any longer in it? Now, we have in America one of the most challenging things that we have ever seen. And it's amazing. Everybody is calling you're a racist if you talk to this person differently than you do that person. Then I mean, it is getting ridiculous. Our government. And I am here to declare to you, if you're not careful, the government's going to put you back in slavery. God help us. Now, let me just go there just for a little bit for us to understand this slavery problem. President Abraham Lincoln issued an Emancipation Proclamation on January the 1st, 1863. As our nation approached its third year of bloody civil war, and the proclamation declared that all persons held as slaves within the rebellious states, they were rebellious states, are henceforth shall be free. So in our national archives, on this day of 1862, President Abraham Lincoln issued a preliminary Emancipation Proclamation, which sets a date for the freedom of more than 3 million black slaves in the United States to recast the Civil War as a fight against slavery. And when the Civil War broke out in 1861, shortly after Lincoln's inauguration as America's 16th President of the United States, he maintained that the war was about restoring the Union and not about slavery. He avoided issuing an anti-slavery proclamation immediately, and despite the urgings of abortionists and radical Republicans, as well as his personal belief that slavery was morally wrong, instead, Lincoln chose to more cautiously until he could, after the Emancipation Proclamation, backing the Confederacy was seen as favoring slavery. Okay, now there's a lot going on. And because imposed, and it became imposed for anti-slavery nations such as Great Britain and France, they were the ones carrying, brought the slaveries to America. Very interesting. German and France, and yeah, it's very interesting as you look at the history of Haiti. They were using, France was using Haiti, was bringing all the slaves over to the Haiti country, and they were there because it was called the Paradise of the Caribbeans. They were doing all the, it was a beautiful place there. And so France was using that for an exploding of all their crazy stuff that they were doing, immorality and everything, you know. And that's what Haiti was being used for. And but the slaves rebelled, and they won the war over France, and they became United States was there also. It was the first revolution from the other powers, Britain, and Haiti was the second revolution. They overcame the slaves. And so we have a new, as we're going down to Haiti, Sharon, come on, you folks down there. You're not slaves anymore. So bring your nation back to becoming the paradise of the Caribbeans again. That's what we're teaching the slaves there. So this is happening here. So the proclamation was a presidential order. And so it's very important that we understand that. With this passage of the 13th Amendment in 1865, slavery was eliminated throughout America. Although blacks would face another century of struggle before they truly began to gain equal rights. And in this whole thing, I was listening to Chuck Swindoll was sharing. Anybody hear Chuck Swindoll this week? He was sharing about this very thing, how that the proclamation was made, but it took another almost 2 years before the majority of the slaves were free because slave owners wouldn't let the slaves know they were free. But they were free. The word didn't get around to them. And you know what the Lord showed me? That there is a lot of us still living in spiritual slavery to sin. I tell you what, this time of the year is one of the most exciting times of the year when we can understand from God's word that he who the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. And so let's go back to our Romans 6 here. And let me read it out of the Passion Bible. And you follow along with me if you want to put it, whatever you put up there. No, that's fine. You can put up the King James. That's fine. I just want to read out the Passion Bible here in Romans number 6. Listen. So what do we do then? Do we persist in sin so that God's kindness and grace will increase? What a terrible thought. We have died to sin once and for all. As a dead man passes away from this life, so how can we live under sin's rule one moment longer? Or have you forgotten that all of us who were immersed into union with Jesus, the Anointed One, were immersed into union with his death? He died for you and I. He paid the price. Amen. He took the sins of the whole world on his shoulder. Your sin and my sin. And let me say something here. The Lord is really convicting me. Every time I sin as a believer, I am putting a nail in Jesus. You crucify the Lord afresh. That's what the scripture tells us. Say, oh me. That's the word. Help me, Jesus. I may say we need help. So sharing in his death by our baptism means that we were co-buried or entombed with him. Oh, really? Yeah. So that when Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we also raised with him. Get that now. He was in our stead. All right? See, that's why we need to love Jesus so much. He died in your place and my place, folks. When he died for you. He died for my sins. Hallelujah. And then when in the tomb, he was buried. You were there. Because he had you on his mind. Oh, he loved you. For God so loved the world that he what? His what? That whosoever shall not perish, everlasting life. I don't know about you. I thank God for this everlasting life. We are lifers now. Amen. How many can say amen to that? We go around lifing one another. Why? Because we got the resurrection life in us. Let's read on. So then that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. Get the picture now. We're supposed to be in Christ, put together. In the storms of life or weather. Do you know, where do you live? Your living is your mindset. Where you think. As a man thinketh, so is he. Folks, it's really simple. We make it so hard. We have been co-resurrected with him so that we can be empowered. Everybody say empowered. to walk in the newness of life. Are you walking in the new life? You can. Four, I love this. Empowered to walk in the freshness, this translation, the freshness of the new life. Hallelujah. You know, there's people that when you move to this dimension, my dear brothers and sisters, you're going to be refreshing to be around. There's some people, my Lord, did you swallow a lemon today? What? There's some people, they say they're Christians, but I don't see life. Lord, where are you taking me? But for since we are permanently grafted into him to experience a death like his, then we are permanently grafted into him to experience a resurrection like his and a new life that he imparts. You know, I have learned, and I think after 70 years and being birthed by this man, you know, this man set the example of what it is to live a new life. He has shown me. I can't help it. This is what the world needs. The world needs people to show them the life of Jesus right in the home where it needs the most. That's where it works the best, too. So, can it be any clearer that our formal identity is now and forever deprived of its power? Our former identity. We were in the world. And we had the world controlling us. Satan was controlling us. We can't help but see what folks are doing out there. They're doing it because they're controlled by the world. But we, the world, is looking for someone that is totally controlled by the Spirit of the living God. I don't know about you. I want to be that person. For we were co-crucified with him to dismantle the stronghold of sin within us. I love that. I love these descriptive things. So that we would not continue to live one moment longer submitted to sin's power. Obviously, a dead person is incapable of sinning. And if we were co-crucified with the Anointed One, we know that we will also share the fullness of his life. And we know that since the Anointed One has been raised from the dead to die no more, his resurrection life has relinquished death and its power over him is finished. For by his sacrifice, he died to sin's power once and for all. But he now lives continually for the Father's pleasure. So let it be the same way with you. Really? Hey, come on, the same way. Hallelujah. With you and I. That's what Jesus wants us to be and to do. Paul here got the revelation of that. But now he lives continually for the Father's pleasure. Oh, I love that. Whose pleasure are you living for? So let it be the same way with you. Since you are now joined with him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and irresponsible to sin's appeal while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Jesus, the Anointed One. I tell you what, this is getting good. Amen. Now, sin, verse 12 there, sin is dethroned, is a dethroned monarch. Sin? So you must no longer give it an opportunity to rule over your life. Oh, really? You mean I can control that? You mean I can control sinning? Amen. So you no longer give it an opportunity to rule over your life, controlling how you live and compelling you to obey its desires and cravings. So then refuse to answer its call to surrender your body as a tool for wickedness. Instead, passionately answer God's call to keep yielding your body to Him as one who has now experienced resurrection life. You live now for His pleasure. Amen. Ready to be used for His noble purpose, remembering this, sin will not conquer you, for God already has. You are not governed by the law, but governed by the reign of the grace of God that lives within you. Hallelujah! There's a new power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb, for there is power. Power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come to the fount. What does it say? Cleansing? We gotta look at that. Where is it? Let's go. Let's go to the hymnal. Where is it found? I want you to see it for yourself. There's power in the blood. All right? Someone get to the piano here. Let's sing it. We got to sing this here. There's power in the blood. What? Where is it found? There is power. Let's find it here. Better take time. There is power. And there is power, 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 power. 319. Let's look at it. Someone goes to the piano? Okay. Rosemary, you want to go to the piano? Look at this here. Man, the Lord just gave me a revelation. 319. Wow. Let's sing it. 319. Let's sing just a couple verses here. The first, the third, and the fourth. Okay, let's sing it here. Look at the man, this songwriter had a word of a God. Okay, that's right. All right, just take time. Man, this is all right today. Okay. Would you be free from your burden of sin? In the blood, power in the blood. Oh, would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, let's go to number two here. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's cross. Wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonderful power. Oh, in the blood. Yes, of the Lamb, oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power, the precious blood of the Lamb. I love that third one. Let's stop with the third one. Would you be whiter, much whiter than sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost. And it's life-giving glory. There's wonderful. Come on, clap your hands now. Lay your book down. There. Wonderful. There is power, power, wonder-working power, precious blood of the Lamb. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? So what am I saying this morning? Don't, and Paul talks about it here in Romans 6. I encourage all of you to go home. This is your homework. Go home and read it. He talks about if you've been set free, don't be again brought back under bondage. Don't be brought back under slavery. You have that power. Reckon. I love that. Let me just go there just for a moment. There is three words here in Romans 6 and 9. Knowing. You got to know. People are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Believe it. If death has no more dominion over Christ, death has no more power over you. Okay, down in verse 11. You circle that in your Bible. Knowing there's three ways of living the victorious life in Christ over all what Satan temptations that Satan gets you. Number two is found in verse 11. Okay, first you got to know. Then likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Christ. Reckon when that temptation comes, you're dead. You have no power over me. We need to, instead of saying, oh, this temptation. You know, and this is why we need to help one another in Jesus' name. When you're being tempted, if you can't overcome, call someone. We are a body here. When you're tempted to do something and you feel you're yielding to it, call someone up. Because when you expose it, you bring it to the light, that means Satan runs. The problem is we want to try to do it all by ourselves. You think about this. I'm tempted. They say that when you're trying to get free from something, you need to have someone that is your mentor helping you. Don't be afraid to admit you need help. The problem is, so many of us, no, I got to do it all by myself, and then we fall. Do you know what? Another step we need to, I believe there's a place that God is bringing this body together, that we know those who labor among us. There is knowing, there is a supernatural direction. When we submit ourselves totally to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, He'll reveal things. Hey, you need to call that brother, or you need to call that sister. Majority of times, Lord help us, people come to our mind, we just, oh, well, Lord, just be with them, bless them. I would like to put this body on a new notice. Anytime someone comes to your mind, give them a call. Give them a call. Our modern technology is so easy. Am I my brother's keeper? We need one another. These are days that devastating. Oh, I tell you what. We need to go there in Jesus' name. Okay. Circle no in verse 9, in verse 11. Reckon. You need to know that Christ died for you. You need to know that you died also with him. And number 13. Now, see, it goes 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust. You don't let sin. You. When you want to say something that's not nice, bite your tongue. This old man wants to live in slavery. He does. And then neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield, yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and as your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Let's read verse 14 all together here. Put that up, Ben, if you could. Let's read it. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Wow. How many can say amen? Put your hand on your heart. Say, Lord, seal this truth to me so that I can go forth this week under the total supervision of your grace, of your mercy, of your power, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Surrender. Surrender. Amen. Now, as I was praying, the Lord gave me one more scripture. Go back to 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. I'm going to leave this with you. And I just got it this morning as I was driving here at 5:30 this morning. Incidentally, I want to invite anybody to come at 6 o'clock. Every Sunday morning, we have some leaders. There was five of us this morning praying for this community that God will move. And every morning at 6 o'clock, we have some folks here praying Wednesday. And I just want to submit to you where the Lord is taking us. Last Sunday, we had a couple sitting right back here. And Ivan, he's my mechanic. And I've been loving him. And I have his heart. He has my heart. He told me, he said, Pastor, I saw you at prayer at 6 o'clock Wednesday morning. Can I come? Folks, that's revival. When a young man would say, Pastor, I'd like to come pray with you. On his way to work, 6 o'clock in the morning. So Lord, capture these hearts. You're doing something, Lord, miraculously in this community. We want to thank you, Father, for it. 1 Corinthians 1. Paul talks about how God takes the foolishness of this world to confound the wise and base things, and that no flesh should glory in his presence. Then he says here, if you could put that up in 30. Yeah, it's 30. Look at this verse. Powerful verse I want to leave with you as you go away from this place this morning. You go away in the presence of the Lord. And I tell you what, I just was just meditating on this. And next week I'm going to enlarge upon this. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto who? Us. Made unto each one of us, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I want you to study that out next week. I'm going to start off, what did God speak to you in this scripture next Sunday? We'll give some of you opportunity, if you want to express what revelation God showed you out of that scripture. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, or made unto me, wisdom. Wow. Boy, I tell you what, that gives me courage in every decision I have to make this week. He's my wisdom. I don't have to fear. Righteousness. He makes us right standing. Right now, I am right standing with the Father through Jesus. Wow. You are too. You're amazing. Sanctified. And you're cleansed. Right now. In Christ. If you want to live there, it's up to you. Nobody else can do that for you. If you want to go live in the slavery of sin and despair, it's your decision. And amazing. Or you can live in freedom. Stand fast, therefore, where Christ has made you free. Oh, has He made you free? Any free people here today? If you believe you're free, I just want you to stand up and say, I'm free! Shout it! So, if anyone needs special prayer for anything, please come up here and I'll share with someone. You know, last Sunday, the Lord is really doing some amazing thing. And one thing about this couple that came last Sunday for the first time, they, and I met them this week, they said,